Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17 now. Mike Dettelier joins us now. We all know who Mike is. WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, Tommy. Thank you.
Give me your thoughts on the college football playoff so far.
Well, what you saw yesterday was Notre Dame flipped the script on Georgia. In the past, Georgia had been the more physical team. They won up front along the offensive, defensive lines, and they were able to make a special teams play. Notre Dame flipped that completely. Yesterday's game was all about winning up front. I thought the heroes there were their players on defense for Notre Dame. They flew all over the field. They never let Georgia get into any kind of rhythm as far as running the football. And, you know, Riley Leonard did enough. No, when you complete 15 passes for only 90 yards, it's not like you lighten them up. And so he was smart. He was he knew how to use other people out on the field. And, man, Marcus Freeman you rarely say this, but he outcoached Kirby Smart's team yesterday. Really did. And so, man, kudos to Marcus. I think he did a great job. Now he goes up against Penn State and Franklin. They haven't won a ton of big games. My old buddy Rich Marty, he complains about that every week. So they've gone about as far as I think most people thought they would go. It'd be an intriguing matchup with Franklin and also having Marcus Freeman on the other side at Notre Dame. And then is anybody going to slow down the juggernaut? That loss to Michigan by Ohio State woke up the sleeping bear. In the last couple games they've played, man, they've taken it out on everybody. So you're going to have a game where Ohio State helps you win if you think on beating them.
That's an interesting take on the Ohio State-Michigan thing because, you know, usually if you can't beat Michigan, they don't want you. But when you look at Ryan Day, what's more important, losing to Michigan or maybe that catapulting you to a national championship, right?
Well, I wanted to win the national championship.
I do, too. Yeah, that's sure. What I'm saying, yeah. But
the Michigan thing, there's a lot of alumni that, you know, because what's happened before, he's lost three straight years to Harbaugh, and then now he loses to Shereen Moore. Mm-hmm. So, man, he's catching a lot of heat. But
that just made a point with me when you said that. If that awakens a sleeping bear and that lights a fire under you-know-what to get you to win the national championship, well, does it really matter if you beat Michigan or not?
No, at this point, no, but I'll never forget Manning Passing Academy. I'm talking to Will Howard. So I had to wait. Somebody else was interviewing him before I got my chance to. And we sit down. My first question was about him transferring from Kansas State to Ohio State. And he said, well, we only got one goal this year. It's national championship or bust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might think that. You rarely hear a guy say it. he was very open about their expectations at Ohio State this year was to win the national championship. And anything less would have been considered a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
And he did tell me, though, man, I got some good guys around me. So he just kind of went on and on about his running backs and receivers and offensive line. And he said, I know our defense will play good. And he told me, he said, we got a freshman, Jeremiah Smith. You're going to really like watching him play. Now, Oregon's still trying to cover him. I mean, he was high school open on every play. There was no one within 4 to 5 yards of Smith on every throw downfield. He was corkscrewing them into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has got to go have their hands full tangling up with Ohio State. And again, I think that loss to Michigan, when you're going to point back to this season, that did something to this football team. I thought they were embarrassed about losing to Michigan. And it has woken them up. And everybody else in their path now has felt the wrath of the Buckeyes.
And the other thing, one final note about Notre Dame, Riley Leonard's 80 rushing yards made a big difference yesterday, too, at key moments.
Yeah. Think about it. He threw for 90 and he rushed for 80.
Yeah.
So and, that's real deep. When you complete 15 passes for 90 yards, man, you're not putting up great stats, but he won. The 80 yards rushing really helped, and it was at critical times. I just thought he was very poised in a big stage where I think most people felt, you know, Georgia had the advantage. They had been there. They had done that. Their coaching staff, their head coach, they had all been through these big game experiences, and yet they basically stole Georgia's script of how they've won.
Yeah,
they stole it and executed it to perfection.
Your buddy the Cannon and I were watching a game yesterday. We turned to each other and said, you know what, Riley, keep running until they stop you, buddy. And that's what he was doing. All right, we'll pick it up. We come back. Talking to Mike Dettelier, we'll talk Saints Tampa Bay when we come back. 822 traffic now, WWL. 6, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mike Dettelier, our guest, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. We all know who Mike is. Mike, let's talk about those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saints playing them on Sunday. First take starts at 8 a.m. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Bobby Hebert at noon. And, of course, Mike's going to be part of that coverage. And you can sync up to Deuce and Hoss. You'll enjoy the game a whole lot more if you do that. Not a lot of syncing up. And then you can sound off after with the Cajun Cannon. Tell me about these Buccaneers, Mike.
You know, they've had a wild ride. You think about 2020, and their GM, Jason Light, him and Bruce Arians, who was the head coach at that time, said, hey, we're going to go after Tom Brady. Because Brady had become a free agent. And everybody knew he wasn't going to re-sign with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And they made the play and were able to get him in. And they were an older team. You know, they traded for Gronkowski, who was up in age. They brought in Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Antonio Brown. And they won the Super Bowl in 2020. They didn't win the NFC South. The Saints did.
Mm-hmm.
But they won when it counted, playoff time. And then they go to Green Bay after beating the Saints and beat the Packers on that turf. So, and they play Kansas City and end up winning the world's title, and after that they win 3 straight NFC South titles. You know, Brady was a big part of that, and then now they got Baker Mayfield. It's been a soft rebuild, but a major rebuild.
That's a great
phrase.
From
a personnel standpoint.
A soft rebuild. That's
a soft rebuild. In essence, yeah, because they've used draft choices. Mm-hmm. They did not have the money to be active in free agency. So the soft rebuild had to all start with draft choices. Over the last 3 years, every draft choice but one is on the roster.
Mm.
Think of that, how well they've drafted the last 3 years.
So who's evaluating that talent for them, Mike?
Jason Light, he's got a great staff around him. He'll be the first guy to tell you that I'm just a piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so many guys around me that can collect information, and he's a guy that is a big believer in fit. Similar, I believe that too, that you got to be the right guy for the right team, right position. And he's always felt that way as a talent evaluator. And look where he's brought them to the brink of them winning their fourth NFC South title. Two of them with Brady, no shock. Mm-hmm. Two of them now, if they win Sunday, with Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker was a discard guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make it a couple different places in Carolina. He didn't make it in Cleveland. Well, he got him to the playoffs, but he wasn't what they thought was the savior. He goes to the Rams for a couple games late in the year, and then he signs up with Tampa. And everybody thought he'd be the bridge guy to the next quarterback. He's been a hell of a lot more than the bridge. Tough, tough guy. And he's the straw that turns the drink for them. He really is. He's an emotionally pegged guy. And, man, if something's to be said to the team, he's the one who says it. He has taken over that team as a leader.
Let me take a break. We'll talk more about the game. Also about could that soft rebuild be a model that the Saints could follow as we look ahead to next season. Mike Dettelier, our guest, back in a flash right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. Mike Dettelier, our friend, joins us. Our guest, Mike, was last night at Treasure Chest, or are you guys going back this week?
Last night was the last night. Man, we appreciate it. We and Steve and I really enjoyed our time there throughout the football season. So, last night was the finale.
But you're going to be second-guessing at the Silver Slipper all the way through Super Bowl, right?
Correct. We'll do that until the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, let's talk about the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and their incentive, not just to win, but some player incentives that kick in as well, because I think there's an important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that part, but, it's so funny, Tommy, because I live around a lot of people that are longtime Saints fans. Mm-hmm. I've had season tickets for sometimes 30, 35 years. And their deal is, I love my Saints. I pull for them every Sunday, but I ain't really pulling for them this Sunday if it means the Falcons win the NFC South. So for Tampa, they got to win. You win here, you win the NFC South. And, for
a lot of players. Well, Bobby said this yesterday. Let me just jump in for a second. He said that if, for Saints fans that hate Georgia, first of all, Georgia eliminated yesterday, right, by Notre Dame. Secondly, if, as you just said, the Saints lose, then the Falcons are out. They're done, and the Buccaneers are automatically in, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And so for a lot of people, their dislike for the Falcons oversees a lot of things. And their deal is, man, 5 wins, 6 wins, it don't make a difference. So,
I don't want to be confused with tanking. We're not talking about tanking here. We're talking about screwing the Falcons is what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so for a lot of fans that they've invested a lot of their hard-earned money in this, mm-hmm. You're not like you sitting at your house watching it on TV. I mean, they go to these games, they invest a lot of money in season tickets and everything else and parking, and their deal is no way. I want to see the Falcons in there. And you start to see a little bit how what you brought up in the last segment we did about how it's done. And you see what happened with Tampa. They were in financial bind similar to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Light knew it. And he knew that for a couple of years he would not be a major player in free agency. And they had to get rid of some older guys on that team. They really didn't want to, but they had to. Tough decisions. Go with the younger players. And look what it's happened for them. Now, Kansas City, to a certain extent, has done it a similar way. They had the quarterback in Mahomes, but they basically have built through the draft. Every once in a while, they'll spend money on a free agent. This year, they brought in Hollywood Brown, who's been injured. Now he's coming back, DeAndre Hopkins. But I would say 80% of that roster that's starting, they've built through the draft. And it's even a higher percentage for the Bucs. Of their 11 starters on offense, 9 of them were draft choices of theirs.
So what that says to me, Mike, and I love the Saints. We love them being our partners. Everybody wants the Saints to do great. But just factually, the draft has not been their greatest friend in the last couple of years.
No, it hasn't. And so you can sugarcoat it a lot of ways. And people sometimes, y'all all talk about negative. No, it's not negative. It's fact. It's reality.
So I'm looking at it as a way of getting the team better next year, which is, and that's what I was trying to ask you, there is a way to a soft rebuild without blowing the whole thing up. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, my thing about the blow the whole thing up, and when I hear people tell me that, my thing is, okay, once you blow it up, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Once you got it blown up, take it to the studs. Take it down. My thing is, okay, once you take it down to the stud, do you have a game plan to rebuild? That's like saying, man, I love this house that I'm in, but I got to rebuild it. I got it at a cheap price. It's a beautiful big home, but I got to redo everything. You better have you the right engineer, the right planner, the right individual to figure out how you're going to rebuild that home.
That metaphor forward, maybe you don't tear it down to the foundation. Maybe instead you add on a room here, you add on a room there, you extend a wall there. That's completely different than blowing the whole thing up and going down to the slab.
Yeah, and the thing with that is you're going to have to make tough decisions on players that have been here a long time that you know have played their best football. Loyalty is great. Listen, we all for it. And when you get a certain age, then you're all for loyalty. I've heard that from a lot of people too. But the reality check is that this isn't going to be a one-year fix with the Saints. This is going to be a rebuild on this football team. Because you can name off every position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, offensive, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. You need people at every spot. Every spot. So that's not a soft rebuild. That's a major rebuild on this team, and you can point right toward two different things. One, you have not hit on a lot of early selections in the draft. Some of those have been big misses. And secondly, you tried to stay competitive and you tried to kick the can down the road. But eventually the credit card bill comes due. You got to pay it.
And I think, and I'm just Saints fan, all right? You know me, and I was talking yesterday about having season tickets for 13 years. I think that Saints fans will be patient if they get the idea that we're going in the right direction. Thoughts?
I agree with that. You know, and I tell people a lot about, man, Mike, it must be a tough year. And I'm like, what? You know how I grew up? This team went 20 years without a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
You and I grew up in that era.
Yes, we did.
That'll be 20 years without a winning season. I'm not talking about going to the playoffs. I'm talking about not having a winning season.
I remember when they beat Pittsburgh for their first winning season in, what, 88, 89, something like that?
87. And so think about how long it took. Now, you've got a generation or two that have no clue of a lot of that. You know, all they've known about is winning and being in the playoffs or in the playoff run, that sort of thing. But this team went through a lot of difficult moments in the past. And it's we sort of seeing sort of same thing. They didn't draft well. The people they traded for, you know, weren't right. Sometimes they cut loose guys that they didn't fully develop. And we're seeing that in the NFL today. Zach Bond and what he's doing in Philadelphia after he had basically kind of been a part-time player here. Caden Ellis. With Atlanta.
Yep.
So, again, who do you blame that on? That's a mixture there because on player playing, that's all about the coach and the coaching staff. That's what that's about. You couldn't find the right fit for that player, and yet he goes somewhere else and he makes it big.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. More with Mike Dettelier when we come back. The Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line is open, 504-260-1870. Let me know. If you're a Saints fan, if you're a hater, you know, you can text in if you want, but okay, if it makes you feel better. But if you're a real Saints fan, I just want to see progress going forward, that we're turning around, we're heading the right direction. That's all I want to see, and I will be patient. Because let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, once you hang that Super Bowl banner in there, those bag on the head days are gone. Again, you can do what you want. It's America, but I think you're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing the team when you do that. I think those days are gone forever. Once you win a Super Bowl, you don't do that. But you do want to move forward. We'll pick it up. We come back 8:50, 10 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 7 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier. Mike, when it comes to running back, Tim Zimmer put this in my ear, and it's a good question. Kendre Miller's in a concussion protocol, didn't practice. I doubt that he'll be ready on Sunday. So with that being said, who do you look at? Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who gets a start? Yeah? Okay, no doubt there, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, most likely Alvin Kamara is not going to play in this game either. Same thing as Derek Carr. So, give Clyde his opportunity. I know he wants to play. I know that. He wants that opportunity to show everybody he can still play. And still play at a very high level. And so we haven't seen that from Clyde since his LSU days. Things didn't quite work out. He had some issues, so to speak, off the field that he's been fighting. And he's been very vocal about what happens in that situation. And Andy loved him. Andy Reid loved him as a player. It just didn't work. So with Kendre Miller in concussion protocol, and Kamara most likely not playing, give Clyde his opportunity here. My thing is, you picked him up, you signed him as a free agent. It's not like it's costing you a tremendous amount of money. Give him his shot. That's all he's asking for, is an opportunity.
And that's all
he's asking for.
The thing that surprised me is he's only 25 years old. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's... Doesn't have a lot of clicks off the calendar.
Yeah.
So, and he's a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. And the one thing I think that Spencer Rattler will like about him, he knows how to pick up the blitz because he catches you. You know, because he's 5'8", and you think you got a shot, blitzing right up the middle, and he kind of wheelbarrows you. He catches you low, and he sort of wheelbarrows you down. So, I think we'll see a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game against Tampa Bay. But you know, if I'm the Bucs, I know what I'm doing, too. Saints haven't stopped the run. So you're going to get a lot of Bucky Irving and also Rashid White. You're going to get a ton of that.
He's listed at 5'7", which means he's probably 5'6". When it comes to the game playing out itself, Mike, it's like a 13.5-point spread. Seemingly on the surface, you know, Tampa Bay's got everything in the world to play for and are relatively healthy compared to the Saints. You think it's going to be tough for the Saints to stay within 13.5?
Yeah, I think it will be because I think they want to put this game away early.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hit the Saints and knock it out early and see just how much gas they have left in the vehicle. And I would expect Tampa to jump on them very quickly. But there is the formula to beat the Saints. And, again, all year long they've had difficulties other than the first couple
Saints
games.
Beat the Saints or beat the
Bucs? No. I'm talking about Bucs beating the Saints.
Oh, I
got you. Control the clock and run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the first couple games of the year, the Saints have had a lot of difficulties stopping the run, and that's what the Bucs do very well. And then once you've got safeties cheating up on the line of scrimmage to help out against run support, I'll run that Mike Evans guy down the field.
Yeah, and he's got
Mike's been doing it for a while, and he's one hell of a player.
And Tim sent me some stuff, some incentive stuff that kicks in, or at least some things that go that can happen that depend on this game. Evans is away from 85 yards from his 11th straight 1,000-yard season. I don't know if he's got a contract incentive on that. I know Baker Mayfield. He does. Okay. Baker Mayfield, he finishes top 10s in yards per attempt. He gets 500,000. He currently ranks 8th in yards per attempt. And the Saints have had some secondary issues. He threw for 325 yards against the Saints in week 6. So we love the Saints, but they are up against it this week.
They're up against it big. And think about Baker Mayfield. Last week, he threw his 42nd touchdown pass of the season. There's only been 13 guys in the history of the National Football League that has done that in one year. And Baker's one of them.
So when it comes to Darren Rizzi and the Saints and doing everything they can, because I'm all about the future, right? Everything they can do to put themselves in the best position to move forward next year. What would you advise them to do? What would you like to see them do Sunday?
My thing is, hey, you're getting paid. You're a prideful individual. Mm-hmm. If you want to continue to live in this world of pro football, give me everything you've got. Because you know what? If I'm another general manager or head coach, I don't want to see you when you're doing your best or the team's doing their best. I want to see you when times are tough and how you handle it. And that would be my thing to this football team, that, hey, we play with pride. And if you want to continue playing in the NFL where your salary is unlike any other profession, hey, make it work this Sunday.
Gotta
go out and do your very best.
I got to believe it's Jamal Williams' last game in a black and gold.
I would think it is.
Yeah.
Then you got to also think about, you know, what will happen with Tyrann Mathieu and with Cam Jordan. DeMario Davis has talked about I'll know when it's over for me. I'll know when it's over. Man, that's a big chunk of your defense that they may have played their last game in the Dome last Sunday.
Looking forward to next year, and we'll see what happens Sunday. Mike, a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you Monday morning. All right, my friend?
Thank you, brother.
You bet. Mike Dettillier, we'll take a break. We come back. We'll get back to normal. We're going to talk to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking and what happened in 2024, 2025, and more. Tommy Tucker, Friday morning, WWL. Thank you, Tim, for